Meandering in the margins of medicine, it's the Shortcode Podcast.
Welcome back to the Shortcode Podcast. I'm Dave Etler, but that's just an added bonus because I'm here with shortcoat wearing students, and I would like them to take the opportunity to introduce themselves. Go!
My name is Patrick Hussey. I'm an M2.
I'm Elizabeth Dupick. I'm an M2.
Rhonda Endicott, M3.
And I'm Tim Barr. I'm M3 too.
Thanks for coming, guys. And I know that several of you, so you're all M2, right, at this point? No.
M2.
He's an M3.
M2's.
Bunch of
M3s.
So you guys just finished with your path exam.
Yes.
And I want to thank you for allowing me to rope you into this because I know that probably you'd rather just go home and die at this point.
Well, we did have some lectures after the path exam.
You had lectures as well?
We're a little bit removed.
Oh, so you're all refreshed now
after a nice nap.
After a nice nap. Oh, okay. Oh. So we're doing something a little different today. To date, the podcast has been mostly interviews with sort of the awesome people working at the edges of what most people think of as medicine, like Master Diagnostician Gurpreet Dhaliwal from episode 27, or Pulitzer Prize-winning historian David Oshinsky from episode 18. And we've done other episodes, big and small, on topics big and small that matter to medical students, like, our recent episode on the technology that medical students use to make medical school work, and relationships in medical school, which was episode 23. And that's been great, but we'll still be doing as much of that as possible, but sometimes the specific topics or visitors just don't come very easily to me. I think especially right now as we hurl headlong toward the end of the semester, we've had match day to do. We've had I'm putting on a conference in a couple of weeks. We got graduation coming up, so there's all this stuff that's happening. And let's face it, we've all gotten pretty busy. So the topics our visitors just haven't come easily to us. So I thought we'd just add a few more frequent episodes like today's, where we'll be just kind of shooting the breeze, freestyling, whatever comes to mind. So today we're recording instead of in a tiny room. We're recording in McCowan Community, learning community. And you guys are all from McCowan.
The best.
No, you're not from. Yes, you are.
What? I'm from McCowan.
And who's the mayor of McCowan?
I am one of the mayors of McCowan.
One of the mayors of McCowan. Who's your co-mayor?
And Jesse Van Monen.
Jesse. So tell us about McCowan Community. Because we do have listeners.
It's all about
really?
I'm just going to put that out there. We do have listeners. They're not all from the College of Medicine,
okay,
which is kind of cool.
So should I give like a rundown of learning communities as a whole?
Yeah, I want to know what learning communities are about from the perspective of the mayor.
Hogwarts.
A mayor.
It is similar to Hogwarts. You are assigned to a community when you come in as an M1. And so there's four of them, McCowan, Phlox, Bean, and Bulwer.
I'm from Bean, by the way. Shout out.
Really?
Shout out to Phlox from the mayor of Phlox.
Bulwer's where it's at.
Anyway, and each of the communities has their own physical space where you can hang out and keep your lunch and eat your lunch and study. They also do a variety of service activities and fundraising efforts.
And McCowan's is?
Well, I was just going to give a shout out to Phlox's Doc Dash, which is happening next Saturday.
Yeah. Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah. So if you're from McCowan, please sign up for Doc Dash.
Doc Dash being the 5K run, which benefits this year.
Yeah, Doc Dash is the 5K run that Phlox puts on. It's put on every single year, and we split the proceeds up between Free Medical Clinic of Iowa City and Mobile Clinic that's put on by the University of Iowa.
So there you go. Go and run.
McCowan's philanthropy is the Domestic Violence Intervention Program of Johnson County. And so every year we have a bench press competition in the Murph Atrium. To press out domestic violence. And the money that we raise from that goes towards Domestic Violence Intervention Program.
And how did we do this year? That was recent.
That was recent. And I should know the answer to that.
That's okay.
How many elephants did we lift?
I think it was measured by orcas.
Orcas this year.
Yeah.
Great.
Orcas.
So it was a few orcas.
A few.
Yeah. Hundreds?
No.
Tens?
It was a couple tons, 3 or 4 tons, I think.
Sweet. So that's McCowan. And so I kind of wanted to do it here, do this podcast here, because I was hoping it would be a little bit more relaxed and comfy while we talk, and maybe sort of bring the podcast itself out into the light. Although the damn place is empty now.
True.
We've scared everybody away.
Yeah, normally after tests, there's a bunch of people sitting around talking, so I don't...
Clearly missed
terrifying.
Clearly missed our window. So, great. I have an announcement, actually, about the podcast itself. We have joined up with the lovely medical students at intraining.org. If you haven't heard about these people yet, you really should go and check out intraining.org, because they are a magazine written for... and by medical students. And so go check out intraining.org, especially their Inside Stories podcast, with whom we are teaming up to form the Vocalis Podcast Network. And what this is a way to sort of publicize each other's podcasts and maybe help bring some new listeners, new blood into each of our podcasts. So go check that out at vocalisnetwork.wix.com/listen. And hopefully you'll be able to find something new to listen to and you know, expand your horizons that way. So I'm very excited about that. And I hope you'll check out our partners. So you guys have had good weeks, bad weeks?
Good.
What do you think? All right.
It's every the first week good. Back from spring break, so it's a bad week.
Did you people go places for spring break, or did you just like go home and relax?
I stayed in my condo and I studied.
I don't know what spring break
is. It was a sad spring break.
We don't get spring break.
Yeah.
There's no such thing.
M3s don't get spring break.
That's okay. Right?
That's fine.
I delivered babies last week.
Oh.
Ooh.
Well, I was going to, I mean, let's get there. Highs and lows. Recent highs and lows. I'd like to hear from each of you about your sort of highs for the recent highs and recent lows. Let's start with highs. Tim?
Babies? High this week, babies.
Yeah.
Couple C-sections, couple vaginal births on labor and delivery. It was a lot of fun.
Did you have to do an external version?
No.
My wife had to have one of those.
Did it work?
It did, actually.
Really?
Well, we think it worked.
I have never witnessed an external version that worked.
I mean, you know, eventually...
I've only witnessed like three, but...
Eventually she turned over, you know, which is, I think, the idea. But it wasn't like right then.
Okay.
Right.
Well, the doctor can still take the credit, right?
Right. I that's what I thought. But as the husband sitting there in the back of the room, I was like, ah. It just looked horrible. This is where they push on the belly. And
try to.
I mean, they push, too. They're push. And my wife was laughing during the whole thing, and they were like, we have never heard anybody laugh during an external version. She's tough.
One of the many evidence-based practices in OBGYN.
All right, so that's a good high. Do you get to catch a baby yourself?
Unfortunately, like I wanted to, but we were just too slow and it didn't work out, so I didn't get to catch one.
What do you mean you were too slow? I think that would be the time.
No, it was like the floor was, there weren't enough patients and enough deliveries that would allow students, and so it didn't work out.
Yeah.
It was slow up there. But that's okay. I don't know, we'll figure something out. All one day I'll catch a kid. The low for this week?
Sure.
I don't know, I didn't get to go to bed till 2 a.m. yesterday, this morning, right. And had to wake up at 6 to take a test. So.
And how many others of us got to sleep fairly late last night?
Yep. Early mornings.
Yep.
Still not used to it.
These guys are geniuses over here, these M2s. They get like 10 hours of sleep every night.
Is that how it works?
No. I mean, I get 8 hours every night. But
wow.
8 hours. Wow. That'd be nice.
Just that goodbye.
Wow. I don't even get 8 hours. What about you? Highs and lows.
Just got my schedule back. Pretty much by some miracle turned out how I wanted.
So this is the M4 schedule.
Yes, it is the M4 schedule.
That you will soon be, when does that start? That starts in like
That starts June, the week right? after we finish this semester.
Mm-hmm. June 30th.
Yeah.
So why is your schedule particularly good?
Great. Well, going into PEDS, got my sub-I first, got the time off I needed to go to Guatemala for a couple months.
Cool.
Do a project down there.
What's going to be your project? You don't even know. You haven't thought of it yet, have you?
Oh no, I have it all set up. Well, semi set up. But anyways, it's on trauma prevention, focusing on helmet safety with child motorcycle riders. Mm-hmm. So, be going down working in the community there.
Maybe child they should motorcycle
just,
riders.
Yeah, maybe they should just stop putting there's children a lot of on that. Motorcycles.
Well, that would be nice, but unfortunately, it's just not an option in a lot of these places down there. It's the only transportation a lot of families have, so that's how they get around. So the best thing we can do is try and make them safe while they do it.
You know what? I'm sorry, that's just a lame project. Because all the children out there who are, like, flying planes and rockets,
well, they're not
why don't we
drivers.
Concentrate on those people? You know what I'm saying? Child pilots. All right, no, that sounds fantastic. How long?
It'll be 4 weeks in the fall and 4 weeks in the spring.
Oh, you get to go back.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Do a follow-up, see if there's some change made. But in the meantime, I got to fundraise so I can also provide them with helmets, not just educate them. So.
Yeah, I wouldn't do, like, you need some helmets. Sorry.
Yeah.
No helmets for you. Well, good. How are you going to raise funds for that?
So it's a little up in the air right now. I do have a little sister that's a really good baker, so I assume she'll do something for me. Well, she kind of volunteered already. And I'm working through my church organization down there. And
which
so
is
Church of God Seventh Day. Okay. We have a church up here too, so I'll probably fundraise a lot through them. And then whoever else I get to support would be great.
We'll have to have you back on the show maybe in a year. If you're still around, well, you'll still be around. What are we talking about? We'll have to have you back in a year to
see how it went.
To see how it went and find out about your experience. Because I love these global programs, things that people come back from. I think it's just amazing that you guys can do that. I just think it's amazing. Highs and lows over there.
Over spring break, I got to read a book that was not, you know, for school.
Are you talking about the CCOM Reads book?
No, I. Not, no, sorry.
Oh. I was so sure I had some sort of...
And there was another one that was above that on the list that I needed to get through first, so not yet.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll talk about that in a minute if I remember. But anyway, you got to read a book.
I got to read a book. That was the
that's
highlight.
That's it?
There wasn't a lot that went on this week.
Okay, so now that you're back, though... Low?
I don't know.
Path exam?
Probably the path exam. It could have gone worse though.
Okay.
So it's fine.
So it's sort of a neutral.
Yeah.
A neutral.
It's a neutral. Probably the low is having to spend all my time studying again and not being able to.
Is this one of those computer based tests where you find out how well you did right away?
Yeah.
All right.
So at least I found out how I did right away instead of having to wait.
I kind of miss the days when people come out of the exam and they're like, oh, I did terrible. And then you find out like a week later that they did freaking awesome. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I really don't like you. Mm-hmm. All right. Good. Highs and lows?
So kind of saying, I don't know if I have any highs. My spring break wasn't exciting. And this week has been really busy. It's been kind of like a neutral.
That is the most boring thing.
It's pretty boring. It's kind of like in that. I think all the M2s are kind of in this rut right now. As soon as step one is over, then we can go out and party.
Yeah.
Just got this like big thundercloud over us.
For those of you who aren't quite there yet, step one is the sort of gateway exam to the rest of medical education for M2s, right? I mean, you got to pass step one in order to move on to your third and fourth year, basically. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's one of those exams where you have to travel to go and take it, right? Or do they do it?
There's a place in Coralville, but it's only in bigger cities that they offer it. I mean, like bigger Coralville.
There's one in Des Moines too, I think.
Yeah.
So what's that exam like? The exam itself? Because I know they study.
Mm-hmm. It's 7 blocks of 46 questions. It'll take about 8 hours to do the entire block. I mean,
Eight hours to do the entire test. So it's like a marathon.
And it's a lot of there's basic science questions on it, but as well as clinical knowledge questions.
So if you're out there and you're a pre-medicine student, this is the kind of thing you have to look forward to.
Yeah.
8 hour test.
Mm-hmm. And your
high
success
stakes,
in life.
Kind of high stakes.
On it.
Yeah. I mean, you can take it again if you don't.
If you don't pass.
If you don't pass.
But
if you take it again, and then it's the higher score that counts.
Yeah, but if you barely pass, then you're stuck with that score.
I didn't realize. I thought you could just take it again if you wanted to.
If you pass.
Sort of blacklisted.
Yeah.
So pass. Pass high. People.
Pass high.
Pass high. I didn't get your low.
My low. Well, I had to take a test as well. Internal medicine. Mm-hmm. Clerkship.
It's a tough one.
Yeah. Dr. Antis. You don't get feedback immediately, so.
She doesn't take no prisoners.
We'll see.
What's an internal medicine? This is a clerkship. What's the internal medicine clerkship exam like?
Heavily renal?
I wonder why.
Strange.
Yeah, well, why?
The clerkship director, she's a nephrologist.
So. Oh, all right. Well, that's fair. You know, if you're going to give a test, you got to give it on something you know, right?
Yeah, makes sense.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing your highs and lows and with Pat's
neutrals.
That was great. We just celebrated Match Day, which was kind of cool. Actually, Match Day, if you haven't figured this out yet, guys, Match Day is way more important than graduation. It's the day where the fourth-year students find out where they are going to spend the next few years of their lives becoming more physician-y. And, you know, this is after, you know, a long, you know, semester or so of traveling around the country and spending a lot of money on the interview trail and meeting people in different programs across the country and trying to figure out what the heck they're going to do with their lives. And, you know, good news, 100% of our students matched. So that's 150 students. Actually, 156 of the students of those participating in the National Residency Matching Program, which is 146, 100% of them matched. Now, some of them had to do a little scrambling, but it worked out. Very few of them had to do. I think it was four.
Had to scramble.
Or SOAP, now they call it. That's the Supplemental Offer and Acceptance Program, which is basically, you know, you apply for the open positions that remain after the first round or the actual matching. And I don't know. That's not a painless process, but, you know, at the end of the day, everybody did really well, and hopefully everybody was happy. Not everybody gets what they want, but everybody gets something. So good news, 39% of the class is entering primary care training, which we like. 33% will stay here in Iowa. And I don't know, a little trivia. The most popular states after Iowa for first-year training were California, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Missouri. Mm-hmm. So there you go. California. We all pretend interested. I particularly enjoyed, though, the NRMP website gaffe. Any of you hear about this?
The right click? Yes. The right click?
So if you hadn't heard about this, okay, so I have to say that the first part of matching is you find out yes or no, whether you matched or whether you didn't. The second part is where you find out where. That's actually match day is where you find out where. So on Monday, you find out whether or not you matched, but you don't find out where you're going yet. So there's another 3 days of like, okay, crap, now what? So some intelligent med student right-clicked on the website that told them yes or no and found in the comments where they matched. Oh. Which I think is hilarious. So, you know, in the inside the code of the website was the name of their matching location. So,
That's clever.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how they thought of, over the years, there's been a few gaffes like that with websites where, you know, things were revealed in the code that shouldn't be revealed, but that's pretty smart to have done that. It was fixed fairly quickly.
And it was in the source code of the page?
It was in the source code of the page.
Wow. I wouldn't even check.
I know, right? It was fixed pretty quickly because that person obviously couldn't help but go to studentdoctornetwork.com and go,
knowledge.
And, you know, of course, viral. The medical the colleges and the NRMP are, of course, lurking on studentdoctornetwork.com, no doubt. And so they were able to patch it pretty quickly. But I thought that was interesting. There's a web developer out there who probably got his or her hide tanned.
Poor guy.
Yeah, it happens. C'est la vie. I wanted to point out that Frolics is happening this weekend. And I know that probably is everybody here involved in Frolics? So you are.
Just me, I guess.
Pat is heavily involved, it sounds like.
Yeah.
The twos. Yes. So Frolics, the M1s, the M2s, the M3s, and the M4s all put on their own shows. And is there a judging thing? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think all the teachers who got nominated for Teachers of the Year are the judges of the skits.
Right. And Frolics is like 8 hours long, so it's like the test. No, it's not that long.
No.
It's like 3.5 hours.
It's like the Academy Awards.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And I hear there's a lot of excitement about always about
there always is
Frolics because it has nothing to do with really actually studying for tests or exactly. anything like that. You guys are putting a lot of work into it too.
Yeah, a lot of work.
What's the? Can you give us a little? Well, something, something.
Let's just say I'm in charge of the music side of our skit, and let's just say the music's going to sound pretty good this year.
All right. All right. So, you know, the Frolics is at the Englert Theater. Box office opens at 6, seating at 6:30, begins at 7 p.m. What happens to the money? Is there money involved here?
I was curious about that, too.
There is money involved.
Probably goes back. Does it go back to student government?
I think it goes back to student government. Right. I'm not sure.
Fair enough.
I should probably know.
That's the thing that we should know.
I think they'd stop.
I have only the most knowledgeable mayors yes. with me today. All right. Well, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a few seconds.
Inside Stories is an oral narratives project that catalogs the stories of medical students during their journeys through medical school. The podcast is hosted on In Training, the online magazine for medical students. Visit us at in-training.org/inside-stories. Inside Stories is a founding member of Vocalis, the podcast network for medical students. Please listen to our partner podcasts at vocalisnetwork.wix.com/listen.
So I collected some news stories from the past week, which kind of caught my eye in the area of medicine, and I thought I would share them with you. So the first thing that grabbed my eye was a study out by the CDC, which says that hospital infections are declining, but they are still killing 200 people daily. And I thought, well, that's a lot of people, 200, but 200 people, you know, I mean, there's a lot of sick people in hospitals, it turns out. And, you know, I guess it would be easier for them to get infections, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So that's where I started. But then I continued reading and I read that, let's see, at least 98,987 of these deaths were, of deaths in, 2002. No, I'm sorry. There was an earlier CDC estimate of 1.7 million healthcare-associated hospital infections, 155,668 infected patient deaths in 2002. And so I was like, okay, well, that's a lot. That's a big number. And then I went and looked, and then I was like, but how does that compare to, say, other things that cause people to die, like car crashes? And I went and looked at 2013's deaths by motor vehicle accident. It's only 35,000 people. So that just kind of totally blew my mind, and I've resolved not to get sick enough to go into the hospital.
That's a good plan.
Ever again. I mean, you guys hear about this stuff, I'm sure, right? Is this a surprise to you, that comparison? Does that comparison even make sense? I mean, because my first thought was, like I said, well, there's a lot of sick people in hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
But these are all considered preventable deaths, preventable hospital infections.
If they weren't in the hospital, it would have been preventable. But it's really hard to prevent someone from, I don't know, like, it's preventable, yeah. And, like, we need to do more to stop hospital infections. But they're not, it's harder to control than people think, I think.
It's not just about washing hands? Okay, because I want to point out that I sit across from the restroom. My office is across from the restroom. And I know, well, I could know. I kept track. Which of you people don't wash your hands?
How would you know?
Because I can hear the dryer.
Oh.
I can hear the hand dryer. I mean, assuming that you dry your hands after you wash them. Which
maybe you have a personal bottle of hand sanitizer that you use.
Sometimes I just wipe my hands off on my jeans.
Well,
because the dryer takes too long.
And you
wash your hands, but you wipe them off.
And you wear sterile jeans.
I do.
As we all
as
do.
As everyone does.
When you come to medical school, you're issued with sterile jeans. Well, okay. Well, you guys have experience in the hospital. What do you think about this? I mean, they teach you, you know, wash your hands when you walk in, wash your hands when you walk out.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of the day, I assume that your hands are like worn to like red nubs.
Yeah. Thankfully, we can use the hand sanitizing foam. There's signs by every patient's door that says "foam in, foam out, saves lives," which is true.
Okay, but
there's still people dying.
I guess so.
Yeah, I think. Maybe more important, like Elizabeth said, you know, it's very hard to prevent these hospital-acquired or hospital-associated.
Associated.
Yeah, infections. But as long as we're trending down, that's probably a good
thing. And I guess, you know, yeah, there's a lot of sick people in hospitals who get infected, but then they're also infecting other people. And
yeah.
So that sort of builds.
I think if you looked at the numbers in 1950, then you'd be really shocked.
All right.
Because I think we've come a long way.
Fair enough. I was, as a non-medical person working in a medical environment, I was surprised by this. Babyland General Hospital is where Cabbage Patch Kids are born. First of all, I didn't know.
Sweet.
I didn't know there were still Cabbage Patch Kids.
You betcha.
This from Slate.com, which points out that if your kids are asking where babies come from and you can't bear to pollute their minds with talk of SEX, head on down to Cleveland, Georgia, where you'll find Babyland General Hospital. So the dolls apparently, you know, they, as I think a lot of people know, they come out of Mother Cabbage gives birth to the baby. And every half hour or so, which I don't think that sounds fun.
It's pretty productive.
But, you know, Mother Cabbage. An employee dressed in as a doctor or nurse gets on the PA and announces that there is a code green. And this means that Mother Cabbage is in labor. It's time to go to the magical crystal tree to watch a baby being born.
It's not
okay. So how does that compare with your experience on OB recently?
Exactly the same. Code green.
I just think that's a terrible idea. Not only because, what do you think of that? Does that sound like a good thing for children to know?
I think I actually have recently read that kids are Googling things and being exposed to answers to questions in terrible ways. So if your kids are asking you where babies come from, you might as well tell them.
Yeah.
And maybe, so that they don't hear it from
someone
else.
And maybe not go, well, let's find out at Cabbage Patch General, what is this? Babyland General Hospital.
Sounds like fun.
I don't know.
I'm okay with it. For a two-year-old. I'm not going to explain to a two-year-old where babies come from.
I don't know.
It came from Mommy's tummy.
It came from Mommy's tummy.
Yeah.
When
and the Cabbage Patch kid came from the Cabbage Patch Cabbage lady.
Interesting story. I'm 3 years older than my brother, and when he was born, my older sister and I were present in the labor and delivery room.
Interesting.
Really?
Interesting.
My mom said that for months afterward, I played having babies in a very anatomically correct and accurate way, and she was very embarrassed by it. So
what was your mom's motivation there? Did she have one?
Yeah.
Or was she just like, I don't know, come on in, guys.
Family party?
I didn't ask her that.
I can see some, you know, people saying, well, this is good for my...
Yeah.
How old were you, did you say?
I was three.
Three. And your brother?
Well, my older sister.
Your older sister, I'm sorry.
She would have been 4 and a half or so. Okay.
So you weren't scarred for life?
I didn't even remember it. Like,
okay. Yeah, but deep down.
Deep down
here.
What, he was born on the 4th of July, and so what I remembered was being upset that I missed the fireworks. So.
Okay. Yeah, I think fireworks would have been more fun than hours of sitting there waiting for something to happen.
Yeah.
And we would take little cold washcloths and put them on her head and help take care of her during...
Oh, that's sweet, though.
This at the hospital?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Good.
Yeah, she wasn't counting on them for help for her healthcare delivery. The birthing process lasts under 3 minutes. A nurse in scrubs and latex gloves stands among the cabbage and tells the crowd that Mother Cabbage has dilated the full 10 leaves apart.
Oh, wow.
Then I guess the crystals glow. The nurse gives the cabbage a shot of amagicillin and announces that she will be performing an episiotomy. All right. Fair enough.
It's a little more than they bargained for.
Yeah, that's
the
more
cabbage
than I
just
expected.
Shoot out the doll.
It's very realistic, it sounds like.
Hmm. Weird.
Easyotomy.
So you guys, how much coverage does alternative medicine get in med school these days?
None.
A couple of lectures.
Yeah. We had one or two.
Yeah.
Hmm. I forgot about those.
Three, maybe, total.
Well, your favorite source of medical information, Wikipedia, has come out and said to them, apparently this group of, a petition was filed on, change.org, by practitioners of alternative medicine, holistic healing, demanding that the encyclopedia waive the desire for things like facts and evidence in order to placate them.
Of course.
Hey. The petition demands that Jimmy Wales, founder of Wikipedia, create and enforce new policies that allow for true scientific discourse about holistic approaches to healing. Wikipedia, they said, is widely used and trusted. Unfortunately, much of the information related to holistic approaches to healing is biased, misleading, out of date, or just plain wrong. For 5 years, repeated efforts to correct this misinformation have been blocked, and the Wikipedia organization has not addressed this issue. Jimmy Wales, as I said, founder of Wikipedia, responded, "No, you have to be kidding me. Every single person who signed this petition needs to go back to check their premises and think harder about what it means to be honest, factual, truthful. Wikipedia's policy around this kind of thing are exactly spot on and correct. If you can get your work published in a respectable scientific journal, that is to say, if you can produce evidence through replicable scientific experiments, then Wikipedia will cover it appropriately." So good for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So if anybody claims that Wikipedia is not based on facts and evidence, then they are.
That's
wrong.
What I was going to say. I mean, you know, you hear an awful lot about how med students probably shouldn't use that as their primary source.
That's bull.
But right it's there.
Not primary. Well, I don't know.
It's the first source I go to. Yeah. So in that sense, it is.
It gets a good overview. And then it also, like, it has sources at the bottom of it that you can click on. And those sources are linked to actual scientific journals that you can get on after.
I would say that Wikipedia is perhaps one of the greatest inventions in the 21st century.
I love Wikipedia.
Yeah, I love it.
It is also where I go.
Knowledge.
And, you know, you young whippersnappers, you guys are at this point, too young to remember the days when there weren't computers everywhere. My wife and I talk about this all the time. We're like, what, you know, back in the day when we didn't know something, we never knew it. You know, we were just like, okay, well, there's no way that I could ever know that information. But now we're like, oh, I don't know who the star of the show way back in the day was, or, you know, I don't know what this medical term means. Now I can find out. But back in the day, we're like, yeah, you'll never know. Sorry. I think it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing.
It is an amazing thing. That's all I got. Anybody else want to say anything? You're leaning towards your mic. You. Say something.
Rhonda.
M2s, it will get better. As soon as step one is over.
It will get better.
That's
and
nice.
Hopefully you left yourself more than just 1 week like I did between, so. That week is great.
You mean between M2 and starting M3?
Between step one.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I got 2 weeks.
I have 2 weeks.
Nice.
Sweet.
And what are you going to do in those 2 weeks?
Haven't thought about it yet.
All right. We don't want to overplan things. Yes. Right? Well, I want to thank you guys for joining me with this little experiment. I think we're going to do a little bit more of this sort of thing because the thing I like working in a medical school is the opportunity to get to talk to you guys, and I really, I don't think I'm being too goofy or too gushy when I say this, but you guys are pretty cool, and it's kind of nice to get together and talk with you guys once in a while. So I appreciate your allowing me to rope you in today, and I want to thank you guys for coming.
Thanks.
And thanks to our listeners for putting in the time, too. We know you guys have lots of things to do, and we're grateful for the fact that you listen. So, keep drinking from that fire hose. Thanks.
Short Code is produced by the Writing and Humanities Program at the University of Iowa Carver College of Medicine with support from Medical Student Government. You can visit us online at theshortcoat.com, or you can find us on Facebook and Twitter too, where we post not only our episodes but news and info for medical students. We also take comments and story ideas from you, our listeners, via email at theshortcoats@gmail.com. Or leave us a voice message at 347-SHORT-CT. That's 347-746-7828. The producers are Jason T. Lewis and David T. Etler. Our opening music is by Dude Skywalker, and our closing theme music is by RAC. Thanks for listening.
But what I see's a child. Your eyes, your eyes.